Welcome to episode number one of Board Games Are for Losers, a podcast where two friends with the same name talk about everything board game related and introduce new players to the hobby. On today's episode, Darren and Darren review code names with help from Annette, and they discuss Darren's purchase of a gaming notebook during another installment of That's Ridiculous. But first, will today's guest Alexis like playing Mansions of Madness 2nd Edition, or will she think that the Double D's are losers?
Welcome to today's episode of Board Games Are for Losers. My name is Darren.
I am also Darren.
And today we have a very special guest. If you remember, Darren, when we first came up with this idea for this podcast, we threw out a few names of who we'd like to have on first, and today's guest is one of those people.
Definitely. Alexis is going to be the best guest, and I think we'll probably have her on every time. I don't even know if we need other guests. I think just invite Alexis back.
Welcome, Alexis.
Thank you. I'm honored to be here and to be your first guest.
Have you ever been on a podcast before?
Let me think. I feel like I have not.
Okay. Do you know what a podcast is?
I absolutely do.
Okay, good. Well, it's very straightforward. What we do here is we like to introduce you a little bit to the listeners so they know about you.
Okay.
Your name is Alexis, although I may call you Alexa because I speak to my Amazon Alexa multiple times a day.
More than you speak to anybody else,
that
probably
is true.
In your family.
So I get easily confused. So if I say Alexa, that's fine.
Just might tell you what the weather is, but that's okay.
That's okay. You're 43 years old. We've known you for several years through friends at work, and actually, you and I have played in two golf tournaments together.
Yes, we have.
Over the last two
years.
The
same team.
The same team over the last 2 years.
We've held it.
How did that work out?
Well, I will say Alexis is an amazing golfer, and by amazing, I mean terrible.
I'm a better miniature golfer. We've established that.
And I was just as bad. And we did win.
Yes,
prize.
We did. We took home first prize in
last place.
Absolute worst score in the tournament of, what, 100 teams?
That might be a little exaggeration. It was more like 36 teams.
Okay.
But it's close.
100 people.
So that makes our winning even more celebratory.
But so that was a major achievement on our part that let's never talk about again.
Right.
Agreed.
But we'll add, last year was 120 degrees.
It was.
When we played. That so the fact that we got through it was...
That is true.
Yes.
Amazing. So, and you have a degree in criminal justice.
I do.
Okay. So we like to ask our guests, what is your nerdiest hobby? And I know this is going to be hard for you to pick.
Well, since you both know me well, I'm sure you're shocked to know that I have several nerdy habits.
Mm-hmm.
So it was difficult for me to come up, but I would say my nerdiest might be that I love comics, and I've attended Comic Cons and dressed up at Comic Cons.
All right.
And that's called cosplay, is that correct?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. Very good.
Uh-huh.
What would you say is your favorite costume that you've worn?
Probably Harley Quinn, Arkham Asylum Harley Quinn.
Okay.
What would you say is everybody else's favorite costume that you wore?
I think the Harley Quinn Arkham Asylum was actually quite popular, so I think that might have been the most popular.
Not Catwoman.
No, I was not Catwoman. I was Batgirl.
Oh, Batgirl.
But yes, that might be the one you're thinking of.
Okay.
But Harley Quinn was very popular. So, yeah, it's just fun. I would say anyone that dresses up it's just a lot of fun. And it's a good time.
Okay. I would say that's not quite as nerdy as board gaming hobby, but what do you think, Darren?
I'm going to disagree with you on that. And that's, we've had this debate at work multiple times that that is a more nerdy hobby than board gaming. By far.
I disagree.
I don't dress up when I play board games.
Well, we will let our listeners post in the comments on our Instagram or email us and let us know.
It's a great idea.
It's a tough call.
I'm on the fence. I think listeners are going to side with me that board gaming is nerdier than cosplay.
Well, you definitely have the nerdiest hobby of any guest we've had on the show today.
True.
We wanted you to be on the show because, first, you do have a nerdy hobby, and you are very entertaining, and we know you have a lot to say about board games. Dayron, do you want to give a rundown of what the podcast is? I know you already know a little bit, but...
Right. So the whole premise of the podcast is to take people that have not played board games or maybe have played the old school board games, you know, like the Monopolies and the Clues of the world, and introduce them to modern tabletop gaming as we know it. And the whole premise began as people were making fun of us at work for this hobby. And when they actually started playing the games, they really enjoyed it. So the whole idea is that you're going to play a game and you're hopefully going to enjoy it. And then you're going to become coming to the conventions with us in the future.
Dressed up.
Those are big leaps, but we can dream big.
We're going to dream big.
And we're also going to try to help pick a game that you might be interested in.
Right,
so we're going to ask some questions so we can get the right game and help our listeners figure out what works and help them pick games for their friends as
That's great, yeah.
So we talked about how we have this ongoing fight about who's nerdier. We want to get your mindset. When we told you, when you originally found out that Darren and I play board games, we're starting board game podcasts, and most importantly, would go away for a week together to play board games and stay in a man cabin, what did you think?
I was shocked, also a bit not shocked, but
here we go. This is why we wanted her on the podcast.
So the man cabin, sharing a man cabin, I think was the not shocking part with you two. But the board game, so I initially imagined all those board games you mentioned, like Clue, Monopoly, Chutes and Ladders. That's what I pictured. So this whole new world was opened up to me. So I did not know about all these updated board games and this board game championships and such. So that was really interesting to me. So I'm fascinated by this whole new realm of board games out there that I didn't know about.
Did you know that there were board game conventions like there are comic book conventions?
I did not.
Okay.
I did not. So I acknowledge the fact that I was completely ignorant to that whole side of society. So I also think it would be interesting to see if the folks that go to comic cons would get along with folks that go to board game conventions, or is there a lot of crossover?
Mm-hmm.
Has there been research in this whole category?
Yes, many, many scientific journals have been published about this very topic. No, I think there is crossover, not as much with the games we play. We don't play as many role-playing games or the miniatures, which is, I think you see more of the costume aspect to that. But there is definitely crossover.
This year we went to PAX Unplugged, which is in Philadelphia, and we saw a lot of people dressed in cosplay. Not a ton, but more so than any other convention that we've been to. But we've never been to Gen Con or some of the bigger board game conventions.
So when they dress up at these conventions, are they dressing up as the board game characters?
No, really just anything. I mean, I saw people dressed up like Mario there. I can't remember all the ones, but just random characters that they just enjoyed the cosplay. And
okay.
It was a convention and there was thousands of people there. So people dressed up. Next year, you'll have to try it.
Okay, well, maybe. We'll think about that.
Baby steps.
When you mentioned that, okay, you understand that we play a bunch of modern board games. What do you think those games are like? What do you think goes on?
Well, so I know a little bit just from being friends with you and from working with you and eavesdropping on your conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And so I imagine, but I've never been to a board game convention, so I imagine it's a lot like being in somebody's mother's basement. So I imagine it very dark, smoky, candy bar wrappers strewn about, a lot of 12-year-olds, a lot of talk about, you know, female anatomy, what that's like.
This is right on.
I'm gonna say this sounds more like some sort of criminal activity than it does playing board games. But
are there a lot of females partaking in this, or is the majority, under 18?
That's a good question. I'd say that there definitely are a lot of females.
Is there?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. I mean, not 50-50, but I would say a lot of ones, 25% women.
That's great.
Yeah, I mean, it's not as rare as you would think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you think about the games? Like, what do you think? Do you think there's a lot of dice rolling? What do you think? What do you think goes on? Like, if you had to...
Yeah.
You so
the mechanics of the board games.
Yes, I mean...
And let me put the disclaimer that I definitely didn't want to offend anybody out there in podcast land. So I honestly wasn't sure because I only know the board games of my childhood, you know. So dice and, you know, the little pieces that you move around a board. So I have to say I cheat a little bit only because I know a little bit of what you've told me, and they sound extremely complicated. So it seems like there's a lot of moving parts and they're very, you know, step by step. But I just honestly wasn't sure. I thought they were similar to the games that I played as a kid. But it seems like they're very involved. So, but I'm willing to test them out and play.
Do you know the names of any of these games?
Only from what you guys have said. So I think there was one called Pandemic.
Okay.
I think there was one called Mansions of Monsters or Mansions of Monsters.
Just let it out.
there was one called The Settlers of Quigley.
Yes.
Okay.
What do you think Settlers of Quigley is about?
I feel like it's about people trying to settle into like a new town, almost like folks that are coming into like a new area and trying to like settle land, maybe like...
Okay. The town of Quigley, I would imagine, right?
Yes.
Of course.
But I feel like it takes place like in the 1800s or something, almost like... and then I know there, our friend Becky, who works with us, played a game called... Sushi Go.
Yes. Okay.
Which does not appeal to me. Like, I hate that name.
Okay.
It just sounds annoying and childish.
Okay. Fair enough.
And then I'm trying to remember. Oh, I think there was another game that you guys have talked about. But the name is escaping
That's
me
fine.
Out of my head. Okay.
So that our listeners know, Settlers of Quigley is what we commonly know as Settlers of Catan.
Oh, all right.
Okay. So just okay. So people are clear.
All right.
We'll talk about that a little more.
Okay.
So what games did you enjoy playing as a kid?
I loved Clue.
Okay.
I love mysteries. I loved Clue. I liked... Monopoly was okay. My sister enjoyed that more because she was into money and she loved beating me at that. I think I enjoyed Chutes and Ladders, but then I got bored after maybe like three plays. Candyland?
Mm-hmm.
Payday. There was a game called Payday that not many people are familiar with.
I know Payday.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. I hated life. That was annoying to me. I hated the little children that you stuck in the cars.
Well, you hate children in
no,
general.
No, I do not. Do not put that out there.
And may I interject here for those who didn't understand what she said? The term car is a Midwestern term for car. So when you hear that... that is what that means.
I don't like a lot of tons of pieces everywhere. Like, that annoys me, too, if there's, like, too many, like, things just that annoys me.
A lot of things annoy you.
Well, I like things to be simple and organized.
Okay.
And Trivial Pursuit. That was honestly, like, probably my favorite. So
good. Okay.
I played that a lot with my family growing up, and my sister and I loved that game. So Trivial Pursuit and Clue would be my top two.
Okay. And did you enjoy playing these games growing up, or was it more like a family obligation?
No, I enjoyed them.
You did? Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
They were fun. And then when I was older, there was a movie game. Yes, because I love movies.
Yes, that's another fact that we know. You really love movies more than anybody I've ever met.
I love movies, yeah.
That is very true. So now moving into an adult-ish area, what games have you played since being a kid? You talked about Seen It. Are there any other games that you've played?
As an adult?
Yeah. I mean, do you feel you've reached adulthood at this point?
I feel like I'm still sliding into that area.
Okay.
Let's use the benchmark of 18 plus.
Okay. Since 18.
Yes. I think I'm sort of a tween at this point. there is a game that is hilarious called Telestrations After Dark.
Mm-hmm.
That is very fun to play with a group of people.
Yeah.
And invariably it gets into naughty areas, and it's just really funny to see what people come up with. So that's a lot of fun to play with get-togethers. I still enjoy Trivial Pursuit.
Okay.
Cards Against Humanity is fun. I've played that. I've heard Apples to Apples is fun. Mm-hmm. I've never played that, though.
So you like a lot of party, social,
Those
fun
are
games.
Fun.
Okay.
Those are fun.
Okay.
Yes.
What was the last game you played, you know?
I do. I was at a dinner party with a coworker, and there were several of us, and he had a game, Nuts.
Game Nuts. I'm familiar with that.
No, it was not called Nuts. I think I told you guys about this. I can't remember. It was like Mensa approved. It was actually like a very thinking person's game, and I quite enjoyed it. It was one word.
Mousetrap.
No. No, Hungry Hungry Hippos. No, but it was a bag of tiles that almost were similar to Scrabble, and then everybody got six pieces, and then you create a board, and the tiles are all colored. I think it started with a Q. And you basically...
Quirkle.
Quirkle! Thank you!
Yes. Qdoba. Yes.
I love it. Yeah, okay. So you create burritos and you eat it once you've made your masterpiece. Do you like that game?
I
loved it.
Haven't played it in a long time. Yeah, I liked it. I think I played it once. Okay. But it's not one of my own, and it's not one we played that often.
I've never actually played it.
I enjoyed it. It's definitely like more cerebral, but I thought it was fun. Yeah. And then I also enjoy Scrabble because I love words.
Okay. So good. This is good to know.
This is very interesting.
So this all helps us to figure out what game we're going to play with you.
Okay.
But we have another important part is you love Trivia Pursuit. We now have what we call the Board Game Knowledge Quiz.
Oh, no.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We didn't tell you about this, but we didn't want you to study.
Okay.
We have a few questions. We'll grade you so we can kind of gauge your intelligence level and pick the appropriate game.
Okay. Now, have you ever seen the movie Billy Madison?
Yes.
All right. So it's going to work like that, whereas if you get a question right, Darren will take off one article of clothing.
What? I didn't agree to this.
I didn't specify which Darren.
That's right.
Where's Veronica Vaughn? Okay.
All right, so here are... Actually, I think these questions will be very good for you. Name at least three Monopoly pieces.
The little doggy, the car, and a top hat.
All right, I'm not going to accept the second answer because I still don't know what that means.
Top hat is one. By car... I don't know if there's a car.
There's definitely a vehicle.
There's a car. You're right.
There's definitely a car.
No, I'm sorry. What was your second one? I'm sorry.
There was a car.
Car.
What was the first one?
Dog.
The little dog.
The dog. Yeah, is there a dog? There's a horse.
No, there's not a horse. There's a dog.
All right. It's like a little Scottish terrier, I think.
Name one more. be sure.
Those were definitely...
Hold on a second. Do you actually prepare for this quiz?
I don't know. I kind of did a brief.
To the podcasters listening out there, everyone is up in arms at this point because they know I'm correct.
All right, fine. We'll give you 1 point.
I'm correct, right, Darren?
You are correct, yes.
Okay, well, you got that one. Name two characters in Clue.
Miss Scarlet and Colonel Mustard.
Ooh, very good.
And that's probably pretty easy given your movie buffness, because the movie Clue...
I'm not a fan of the movie.
Oh.
It's a cult classic to many people, but the movie annoyed me.
Oh, you don't like comedies.
I do like comedies. It just depends. I found that a little too... I don't know.
You don't like things that make people happy?
That is not true. I saw Game Night on Saturday and thought it was hilarious.
Okay.
Interesting.
All right. Third question. So another game you mentioned, Candyland. Mm-hmm. Name one of the locations on the board.
What a great question.
I probably have not played that since I was maybe 5.
Can you describe a location on the board?
How about Lollipop Junction?
We'll give you Lollipop Woods. We'll give it to you.
That doesn't come across well. That sounds really creepy. Lollipop Woods?
Well, remember, the game was from like the 60s or something. Like
candy bar, windowless van? What else is in this game?
I'm going to give you that.
Okay.
All right. Okay, those are the easy questions. Now we have two harder questions.
Okay.
This is a medium question. In the game that you know as Settlers of Quigley, we know as Settlers of Catan.
But I've never played it.
Okay. And that's fair. Name... one of the resources that are available in the game. And if you don't know, use your...
Okay, I feel like they are settling down and they're trying to, like, get their stake of land and get their homes and food and, you know... So I feel like a resource might be a gold bar.
Okay. Can you name another one?
How about some crops, maybe some corn?
Okay, that is good. Another one. There's four.
Okay. How about a bag of wheat?
Okay. All right. And how about one more?
You're on the right track. They're going into town. They go into the town of Quigley or Catan, and there is. I feel like there's like a crooked sheriff that they have to pay off.
Okay.
So a bag of like money.
Okay. So out of those, you got none correct.
No, that's not true.
Well, brick.
Wheat. She got wheat.
Oh, I forgot about wheat. Yes. Corn. She said, oh, she,
no,
did,
she
say
did
wheat.
Say wheat
okay.
Also.
All right, sorry. I give
like,
you one.
Yeah, I give her a half credit for a bar of gold because I feel like ore is similar.
All right, so that's a 2-point question. We'll give you 1 point.
I think it's fair.
That's fair.
Okay.
Good job. That was good.
Yeah, for never playing Settlers of Quigley, I feel like that was
reasoned it out well.
It highly was impressive.
Very detailed explanation. Okay. Yes, I enjoyed
and
it.
Your preparation is mind-boggling. Yeah,
well, I kind of just prepared on the cuff.
You didn't know the 5 resources.
I forgot. It's been a long time since I visited Quigley.
That's true.
So, all right, this one is a tough one. We play a game called Bonanza. What do you think that game is about?
Is it Bonanza or Bone-anza?
B?
Because one sounds like a porn.
Okay.
Well, we'd like to put your answer to both of the words.
It is spelled B-O-H-N-A-N-Z-A.
Oh.
Bonanza.
B-O-H-A-N-Z-A.
B-O-H-N-A-N-Z-A. I'll show you the spelling.
Okay. Okay.
What is that game about?
I feel like it's about sushi chefs that have gone mad.
Okay.
And they are, and you've got to like sort of wrangle them back into like their business and getting them like organized with the sushi counter.
Actually sounds like a pretty good game.
Yes.
But that's incorrect.
It's not even close, but it's a very good game.
Okay.
It's actually surprisingly about bean farming.
Oh.
Planting beans.
Okay.
That's the whole theme.
Okay. That sounds horrible.
It's better than it sounds. It is. It's definitely a game we will be playing with Jim because he will absolutely hate it.
Okay.
There's stink
Don't play
beans,
that with me.
Green beans, stink beans. So that doesn't sound
no,
fun.
No, that sounds horrible.
Okay.
That and Sushi Go. I would like to play the Monsters of Mansions.
Okay.
And I would like to play Pandemic.
Okay. All right. So, well, we have to give you a score. So for the final one, we'll give you a 0. So you got each of the first 3 and then gave you half. So total score 4. And based on our rating, that puts you at what we would say is slightly below average intelligence. So
I'm the smartest man alive.
Congratulations.
Do you think that's a fair assessment?
No, I feel like I should have scored a bit higher in this assessment, so I would like a recount.
Well, you can submit a formal complaint.
Okay.
I
feel like Veronica Vaughn would have scored me higher.
Well, everybody scores slightly below average.
Okay.
And there's no rhyme or reason to it.
Okay.
And also, Darren is not wearing a shirt anymore, so I feel like we all won.
You did very good.
Okay.
Very good. Very
okay.
good. Actually, better than I thought you would with those questions.
Okay.
So good job.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So now we're going to try to figure out what game. I know you have some ideas, but we're going to try to figure out. And we always already got some ideas of what mm-hmm. game you might want to play.
Okay.
I was interested to find out you like Scrabble. Mm-hmm. That changes,
yes.
I think, the perspective a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to know you don't like a lot of components and things. Because
mm-hmm.
there are some games that will absolutely make you cry when you see them.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the games Darren owns are like that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
when you play a game, what's your main motivation for playing a game? Is it, you want to win because you're competitive, you want to have fun being social, like, do you want to solve a puzzle, like you were talking about Quirkle, like what do you think is your main factor, mm-hmm. What do you most want to get out of your time playing a game with us?
I think it would depend on 2 things. I think sometimes, like, if I'm at a get-together, it's just laughing and having fun, like if I'm playing Telestrations.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's more focused, I like to actually, like, use my brain and learn something. So Scrabble, to me, is interesting because you have to actually think about it, come up with a word. Same with Trivial Pursuit. You learn something and you're using your mind. So that's usually what I like to do a little bit more, is
okay.
try to figure something out, use my mind, have to think about something.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah, very good. Okay. And you kind of, this is something we ask everybody, and you've kind of touched on this, but how about the theme? Does that matter? Could that turn you off
yes.
to a game like
sushi?
Yes,
like the string beans. Sushi Go, like the name just like is so annoying to me. I don't know why. Because it sounds like a kid's game. It just like sounds stupid.
Right, okay.
And then the bean one, like that whole concept is stupid to me, so I don't want to play that no matter what.
So let's throw out a few themes here and see what you think about it. How about pirates?
No.
You don't like the eye patches or
I enjoy
parents?
Pirates, but I don't want to play a game about
okay.
pirates, but I like scary, spooky stuff.
Okay.
Zombies, right. Creepy stuff. So
okay.
that would
okay.
be interesting to me.
Dungeon exploration.
Like Dungeons and Dragons doesn't really appeal to me, but if it was like a dungeon where there could be zombies or like spooky stuff, okay. Yeah.
How about sci-fi?
I love sci-fi. Oh. I love sci-fi.
Oh, okay. All right. All right.
How do you feel about a game that requires you to play in real time, so fast? Like, so think of a card game where, like, Spit or Spoons or whatever that one is, where you have to slap a card.
I don't like cards, really. Like, I'm not really interested in, like, cards.
When we say cards, do you mean a standard deck of playing cards or any cards? You know, if there's a game that had other cards that weren't...
Yeah, I would be open to that, but I also, like, I'm pretty laid back, so I don't like the whole, like, people, like, yelling and throwing stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, so I don't like all that, like...
No throwing.
Craziness.
Do you like trading goods in the Mediterranean? Does that sound interesting?
No.
Okay.
Well, now, wait, hold on. What if you had, like, a block of, like a cube that represented corn, but then you were going to take that block and trade it for another good that represented wheat?
I mean, maybe, but if I'm Mediterranean, I'd rather just, like, lie on the beach in the sun.
Okay, fair enough. What would you say is your attention span or, you know, what's the longest game that you'd be interested in playing?
I would say about an hour.
Okay.
I'm going to get annoyed after that.
But you sit through movies. You like movies. So yes. If the game was entertaining enough, do you think you could make it for more than an hour?
Yes, if it was really capturing my attention.
Okay.
Because I'll binge Netflix and I'll watch movies, but that's, you know.
What if the game was telling you a story and it was kind of an interactive story?
Yeah, I might. Okay. I think it would really have to captivate me.
How about the complexity of a game? Does that turn you off? Does that matter? Like, if the rules take 10 minutes to learn, is that going to be a...
As long as... I mean, 10 minutes is a long time for rules. So
right.
As long as it's not, like, overly complicated, you might lose me. 10 minutes is a long time to explain rules.
Okay. What if it takes 20 minutes just to set up the game?
Oh, that's... that 20 minutes to set up a game? Like, that's like an IKEA bedroom set. So
okay.
That doesn't sound interesting.
Okay.
How do you feel about player interaction or conflict? Do you care if we have to directly compete with one another, or would you prefer it to be more of a cooperative effort, or just kind of you play, solve the puzzle by yourself, and the best person wins?
I like the first two. I'm good with like a competition, and I'm also good with like a team effort.
Like if you say you built a house in Quigley out of your gold bars or mm-hmm. whatever, and I came along with my Quigley character and burn it down. Would you get angry?
It's a game, so
okay.
No.
Okay.
No, I think it would be like some people, playful competition.
Some people get angry about
no.
that.
Okay. No.
Did
it's
you
a game.
Really have to refer to your notes for what resources were going to be used again?
Well, I forgot which one she suggested.
Holy crap.
How about negotiation games? Like, I'll trade you two bars of gold for two things of wheat.
Okay with that.
So negotiation's okay. How about negotiation in terms of me and you team up and we'll burn down his Quigley house? Like, does
I
that
feel
sound
bad doing that? Okay. But I mean, I'm not against it.
Stay away from my Quigley house. All right. So
why don't we pause for a second and discuss the three games we'd like to present to you, and then we'll proceed forward.
Okay, that sounds good. Okay, so we are back and we've discussed some of the games that we think you might be interested in.
Okay.
And now we're going to present them to you. We have two games. So first one, Mansions of Madness. So you called it Mansions of Monsters or Monsters
okay.
of Madness.
Or I was close.
You were very close. Mansions of Madness is a game. It sounds like it's right up your alley. It's kind of like almost like an interactive story where there's a scenario where there's a mansion that kind of looks like the board in Clue, except you build it differently each time and you have to explore the mansion. And there's some mystery that you have to go into the mansion and solve as you have an investigator. And you have to go in and explore the mansion, look in the rooms, look in the dressers. And as you find things, you get to collect them, you get clues. And then monsters come out, like zombies and lots of different monsters. And they attack you, and you have to attack them by rolling dice and playing different cards. And then throughout exploring the mansion, you figure out what you have to do to win because you don't know when you start. It's a mystery, right? And then you try to attempt that, and you all work together to do it. So we take turns, but we're all trying to do the same thing. Like, yeah, I might say I'm going to go explore one room while Dayron may go
attack
the monster. Right, he may take a nap.
That sounds really fun. And when you're doing it, can you see pictures of the zombies and the? Do they have pictures?
So they're actually little characters. They're little
figurines.
Figurines that you put on the board, and there's actually an app that tells you where the monsters are, what you found, and it plays spooky noises. It tells you a little story with each thing you discover. You meet people in the mansion. They talk to you, and they give you clues.
Okay, that sounds super fun to me.
Okay. It's a very popular game. Fun
sign
game.
Me up. Okay. Thumbs up on that one.
Okay, that sounds good.
Right, the second choice we came up with, we had thought of Mansions of Madness beforehand, but what we learned through the interview, which shows the process works, trust the process, is that you might like a game called Paperback. Now, Paperback is, there's no board, it's only cards, but it's not traditional playing cards. It is basically a mix of Scrabble and a card game. So what you're doing is you're building up a deck of cards by buying them from the middle, and they all have letters on them. And on your turn, you use your cards to spell a word. You know, the better the word, the more points you get, it allows you to buy bigger letters or better letters from the board. And you keep on adding to your deck, and eventually you wind up scoring points by purchasing point cards on the game. So it's very much like a modern-day version of Scrabble that you basically just keep building up your own supply of letters, and you play a word on your turn. It's not a very popular game in the board gaming community because I don't think a lot of people like spelling. I found that nobody likes to play it with me, but
it is a lot. I enjoy Scrabble too, and it has the same feel as Scrabble, but with also instead of drawing tiles randomly from a bag, it's like you're buying the letters that you can then reuse. So if you got to buy more vowels or the certain letters score you better points, and the cards also give you actions like allowing you to draw extra cards each turn, so you have more letters to spell with.
Okay.
How does that sound to you?
Yeah, that sounds interesting. I would definitely be down for that.
Okay. I think you'd like that. And that's a pretty short game. When does that last?
It can take a little bit longer. Actually, they updated the rules in the expansion, and it actually makes it a better game. So I think we could try it that way. On a scale of 1 to 10, how do you feel you're going to like Mansions of Madness first?
I mean, based on what you've described, I feel like it's going to be an 8.
Okay.
Ooh, okay.
And what do you think about Paperback?
6.
Okay. I think that's a pretty good start.
Okay. Do you have any questions for us about this whole board gaming process?
I'm curious, what is your favorite game? If you had to pick one.
Well, you're going to have to listen to our intro episode.
Right.
Obviously, you've listened to, because why wouldn't you have before coming on this podcast?
Right.
Because you're a huge fan of the podcast.
Yes, absolutely.
Of course you did. But had you not listened to it, mine would be Galaxy Trucker, which is a game we briefly considered exposing you to, but it has an element of speed play, which most people don't like. And it also is a game you have to know how to play play with others that know how to play, if that makes any sense. Like, if you play with me, you're going to hate me and you're going to hate the game.
Yeah. Okay.
And Dayron will play with me only to humor me.
Right. Okay. And it's fun. It's a fun game, but there's a learning curve, and you have to understand it to actually enjoy it. Mine would be, I'd have to say Dominion, which is a card game. And it's actually the game we're going to be playing here. If you're Paperback that we were talking about, is a mix between Scrabble and Dominion.
Okay.
So if you can play Paperback, you understand basically how to play Dominion.
Okay.
So I really like Paperback because I enjoy both Scrabble and Dominion, and that game is a cross between the two.
Okay.
So down the road, I'm sure we'll see how this goes. We're going to get together. We're going to play the games.
Mm-hmm.
And if we have a chance to play both, if not, just Mansions of Madness. And then we'll come back and we'll talk to you about your experience with the games.
And we'll book a room at the World Board Gaming Championships for you, because you'll obviously want to go.
Well, I'm always up to that is not going to come out right. I was going to say something and that's not going to come out right, so we're going to just skip over that.
All right.
That would get me arrested.
All right. Well, that is it. Let's go play some games.
All right.
Thank you.
Mansions of Madness 2nd Edition is a cooperative game of exploration, mystery, and horror for 1 to 5 players. It's designed by Corey Konitska and Nikki Valens and published by Fantasy Flight Games. It takes anywhere from an hour and a half to 3 hours to play, but that really depends on which specific scenario that you're playing. The game comes with several different scenarios and more are available in expansions. The 2nd edition of the game requires a free digital app to play, which is used to determine the layout of the mansion and any items hidden within. The app also controls the movements of any monsters that you encounter during your visit to the mansion. So at the start of the game, each player selects a unique investigator to play as. Each character has different stats and abilities. For example, one might be better at fighting monsters, while another might be better at finding clues or solving puzzles. The players then use the app to choose a scenario to play, and they're given a brief backstory about some mystery or strange activity that's happening at the mansion. The app then instructs players on how to set up the initial entrance to the mansion using the many different room tiles and other tokens included in the box. The game then begins, and it's up to the players to find clues as to what their ultimate objective is and then complete it. So the basic gameplay is relatively simple. On a turn, each player gets two actions. The most common action that you're going to do is simply moving your investigator around the mansion. There are several other actions that you can choose, but they basically all involve interacting with something in the mansion. For example, you could do things like search a piece of furniture for a clue, talk to a character that's in the room with you, or open a door to reveal a new room and add a new tile to the mansion. You take those actions simply by selecting them in the app. These actions enable you to discover clues or find new items, such as weapons or spells, that will then help you unravel the mystery or fight monsters that you encounter throughout the mansion. Now, if a player suffers too much damage or horror during the game, they can become wounded or insane. Too much additional damage after that point causes a player to be killed and knocked out of the game. So it's up to the players to work together to solve the mystery and complete the required objective to win the game. Now that we've played Mansions of Madness 2nd Edition with Alexis, let's go find out if she still thinks board games are for losers. We are back with Alexis after playing a game of Mansions of Madness, 2nd edition. And before we get into the gameplay, I wanted to talk about the fact that I didn't realize that you hadn't been to my house before and you didn't realize they had a game room.
Aha, I have been to your house before. I tricked you.
But before the game room was built up.
Oh, I don't remember the game room. Yes, yeah, okay. New Year's Eve circa 2012 maybe.
Okay, so
standing outside his window does not count. It's being inside the house.
Throwing rocks counts.
So you, what was your impressions when you saw that we had a whole game, a whole room dedicated to games?
My breath was taken away.
Okay.
It was nice. No, I thought it was like cozy and there was floor to ceiling games on the left and the right. So I was just mesmerized.
So did that,
and impressed.
That surprised you though? I don't think did you expect that many games?
No, I didn't expect that many games, and I was impressed. I was excited. It was really cool.
Okay, good. So
set the mood.
Okay, good. So you came. The mood is good. Daron is going to summarize what happened when we played the game.
Okay.
All right, so before Alexis arrived, we actually set up the game because that was part of something that a new gamer doesn't want to have to see us taking out all the pieces and setting up. So when she arrived, we were ready to go. We did a quick rules explanation, probably just a couple minutes of how to play and what to expect, and then we launched right into the gameplay. It took a lot longer than we expected, I think was fair to say. The recommended time limit on the scenario was 60 to 90 minutes, and this was 2.5 hours. And I think there's a couple of reasons for that, but we don't have to get into that.
And let me mention, we played the first scenario of Mansions of Madness 2nd Edition. I think it's called Cycle of Eternity, but the first basic scenario for the game.
Right.
What we played.
Cycle of Eternity was the actual time frame of the game.
Okay.
Right, that's true. It did feel at some points like an eternity. and not to go through the actual, you know, scenario at all to not give any spoilers about, but we did wind up winning and solving the mystery basically at the last possible moment of the gameplay.
Well, me and you were dead, and Alexis won the game for us.
That's true. And teamwork. Some would argue that we didn't, in fact, win if we were dead, but I feel like mystery solved, the greater good one, and right. I am part of that, even though I am now dead.
I mean, we stopped the evil, so that's all that matters.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I couldn't have done it without you both.
So, what did you think about getting into the game and learning the rules, that whole process from when you first sat down at the table? What did you think about it?
So, to be completely honest, it felt a bit daunting at first. I remember mm-hmm. thinking there's a lot of intricacies to this. There's so many pieces, and I saw the rule book and it looked like War and Peace. But initially, then we started playing and it was intriguing. The concept was intriguing and I was excited, but I felt a little bit like, this is going to be a lot. Am I going to really enjoy this? Mm-hmm. So that was my initial impression, was I was not sure.
Okay. Okay. I think that's fair. I think we both saw that.
And did you?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And it's normal.
Okay.
I think what was interesting about this was my first time playing the second edition. I had played the first edition once before. It was mm-hmm. years, so I didn't remember it either. But I also, having played these games a lot, it's just more intuitive when the rules are explained. But what Darren did was, which is interesting, was basically say, here's what's going to happen, but let's just play it, learn as you go. And I can understand, for me, that was easy to do. But for someone who doesn't play these games, I can see how that was confusing. And you're just kind of, whereas we would naturally understand, hey, pick up the dice and roll it. You're still back on one step before going, wait, why are we moving? What are we doing? Mm-hmm. So I saw that. I was wondering if you felt the way I thought you did about it.
Did you like the fact that there weren't a lot of rules up front, that we just said, hey, let's just play and we'll learn it as you go? Or would you prefer to have like, hey, here's 5 minutes of rules up front and get an idea?
I usually like knowing exactly. I mean, if you guys know me, you know I kind of like knowing exactly what is expected of me.
Right.
So I don't like surprises. So normally I would like to know exactly what I'm in for, but I think it wound up working.
Okay, good. We should cancel the surprise we have for later in this podcast.
Cancel.
All right, hold on. Cancel. Okay, very good. So the rules explanation aside, let's get your overall initial thoughts on the game.
What did you think?
I loved it.
Nice.
Whoa.
I loved it.
Nailed it. All right, and that's the end of this episode.
That's the end of the episode. Please don't talk any further. Thank you.
I loved it. I love the concept, and I think in my, you know, our initial conversation, I love like the zombie, the monsters, that type of genre.
Mm-hmm.
So I loved the whole idea of the mystery and going into a mansion and not knowing what you were going to find and picking up clues. I loved my character. I was Rita Young, I think was
yeah.
her name.
Mm-hmm.
So that was exciting for me to get to pick my character because yeah. I loved her.
Okay.
So, and I also liked the cooperative. So, see, I'm learning, picking up the gaming
yes.
terms. I
wow.
liked working as a team.
Okay.
So obviously I've never played a game where I was just in for myself, but I
okay.
liked the cooperative effort. It was kind of fun to all be on the same team.
Did you feel that we were working well together as a team, or did you feel that?
I did.
Okay.
Did you guys feel that way?
I did. No.
Yeah.
So what we wanted to ask you about was, there's a term in cooperative game called alpha gaming. So it's when somebody that's either more familiar with the game or just really annoying and strong personality will take over and say like, all right, Darren, you're doing this, just shut up and do it. And what I wanted to know is if you felt that that was happening at any time, because we are obviously more familiar with the game, and I noticed at points we would be directing you, but then I thought you didn't seem to mind, but I was curious if you noticed that.
So I did notice that you guys would sort of, you know, direct things in a certain way, but I appreciated it because I kind of needed sometimes that direction.
Okay.
But you were also super supportive. You know, when I did a certain move, you would be like, great job. So I really liked the positive feedback. So I didn't feel that you were bossy or...
Okay, because we were texting each other under the table about how stupid some of your moves were.
Well, I did get out of the house alive and you didn't, so there's
true.
That.
I can't, we're never going to live that one down.
Did you feel like I was being a good team player?
I did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We were worried that you were just going to sit back and let us play the game,
okay.
but I think after the first few turns, you picked it up and you're like, okay I'm going to go here.
Okay.
And at points you were doing the move before we even discussed it. You're like, I'm going to do this. And it was
okay.
the right move. I mean,
okay.
not ever a right or wrong move in
yeah.
that game, but it was...
That one thing that she did that released all the horrible things,
oh,
which we can't talk about.
She
maybe
made the ghost
the
come out.
Mashing
yes.
the thing that caused yeah. everybody to die.
Well, when in doubt, though, would you not have smashed it?
No, I agree with you.
I would have smashed it.
Yeah.
That's what I like about the game, is there's those moments where you're like... none of us know what to do. Let's just do it. And you were the one who always like, let's just do it.
Yeah.
Actually,
you can't be afraid.
Well, that made it fun, but I think that also added to the game. Took longer.
Taking longer.
But it was fun.
Yeah.
But it was things like that. You always decide, let's do it. And bad things usually happen.
Right.
That is very true.
That ghost was a jerk.
Or what didn't you like about the game? What aspects did you not appreciate?
That's a good question. I did feel like every time we had to do a monster check, it got a bit tedious.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It was kind of fun seeing what would happen, but I think it might have been cool if the monster check was random versus every time it was a mythos turn.
Well, I found out one thing about that. I checked the rule book and come to find out if we, and this is, we played this slightly wrong, so to what you're saying, if one monster affected each of us, we don't each have to do a monster check. We just do one and we all do roll separately.
Okay.
Oh. So we would just, it would have made things quicker. So to your point, part of it is that we were doing that slightly wrong. Not game-breakingly wrong, but it would have smooth that out.
Okay.
It so just felt because I agree with you. And I was like, is this really how it's done? And I went and read that it said, no, if the same monster, we all do the same check.
Okay.
So we would just roll our dice separately without having to pull up a new check. So, yeah.
Okay.
What else? Anything else you didn't like?
Nothing else that I really disliked. I enjoyed, I really loved the interactive app. That made the game for me.
I was going to ask you about that.
If that interactive app wasn't there, I don't think it would have been nearly as fun or interesting.
Okay. Well, I mean, did you like the fact there was an app, or did you like the fact that it had sounds and stories?
All of it. Because it just made it more enhanced and real and interesting, and I thought it was clever. And, right. Yeah.
Good.
Do you think your enjoyment of the game would have changed had we lost?
No, I don't. I mean, I would have been bummed, but I don't think I would have disliked the game more.
Okay, because that's a problem with sometimes with new gamers playing a cooperative game. They go in and they play and they're like, wait, we lost? It's kind of a letdown, and they just don't understand. Like, most co-op games are actually extremely difficult. They're made that way so that you'll play them again and again.
Yeah.
It's like a video game where you don't want to beat it on the first playthrough. I was wondering if that last moment when we actually got out, had you died as well, if it would have changed anything. To me, it wouldn't change my
opinion. No, I agree. Mm.
No, I didn't know that we were going to make it out because
it was really
close. It was a tight call. So.
It really was one or two turns away from losing.
Yeah.
So that made it fun, but it could have gone either way.
I just found it ironic that we both went crazy before Alexis.
That's true.
And you thought I was crazy the entire time.
Yeah, maybe it has some
outside
sort of
the game.
Maybe some sort of inverse proportional relationship to crazy in real life versus how crazy you get in the card game.
Let's not go there.
I've yet to explore that aspect.
Anything else that you want to say about what you liked or disliked about the game? Anything in particular?
The only other thing I think would have been cool is if the figurines were a little bigger. The figurines for the investigators and the monsters, they were so tiny that I feel like they're really cool.
Right.
And I feel like the shapes are so tiny. Like, I wanted to be able to look at the ghost or, you know, the monsters. Right. I feel like they're so tiny. I wish they were a little bit larger.
I think they would look better if we painted them, which I'm not about to do. But
no.
But who has the time to really painstakingly paint those little figurines? I wish they were just a little bigger.
You just lost all of our guests who all have that time to paint minis. It's our biggest fans.
A lot of people.
I think it's amazing if people do. I just think, and it's not even as much the time, but I think we were talking about, I don't know that I would have the patience or the, what's the word I'm looking for? My hand would
fine
change.
Fine motor skills.
Yes. So anyone that does it, I think it's amazing, actually.
I don't play minis games, but are those minis smaller than normal?
No, I think they're normal. It's just that a lot of the detail doesn't come out unless they're painted.
Okay.
So I think that's a big part of it, I think.
Okay.
Somebody did it. I've seen pictures online. People do the paint jobs. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It does change.
Does it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It is a little dull with
That's
my fault for
being
too lazy.
Maybe
it's not your fault.
Spend 200 hours painting them.
Maybe instead of buying 18 more games, you should just pay someone to paint them.
18 more games.
Okay. We'll talk about that another time.
Before the podcast, or before we played, you rated this that you thought you would like this an 8.
Oh, I don't even remember that.
Okay, that's why we're reminding you.
Yes.
What do you rate it on a 1 to 10 now?
I would say between an 8 to 9.
All right. Oh, so it went up.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I mean, as soon as we were done, I thought to myself, I would want to play this again immediately.
And let me ask you another question before I forget. Also before the podcast, you said your time span was about an hour.
Yes.
And this went almost three.
Dead.
How did you feel about that?
So it was funny. That night I was thinking about it. I'm a very time-oriented, slightly obsessive-compulsive person.
I never noticed.
Never noticed.
It's weird.
Thanks, guys. They're rolling their eyes for people that can't see. So if I knew going in that it was going to be 3 hours, I think I would have been fine. Mm-hmm. What stressed me out is I thought I had like an hour to 90 minutes, and I knew that I had stuff to do later that night.
Right.
So that is where I think I struggled, because when time is thrown off for me and things aren't exactly how I planned, right, I get a bit askew.
Right.
So had I known I would have planned for 3 hours, okay, I think I would have felt better about it.
Okay. Interesting. Because we purposely elongated the game because we didn't want to hang out with our kids. So sorry I have to reveal that now, but
exactly.
What about your wives?
Nope.
So yeah.
I don't think anyone believes we have wives.
That's true.
Despite the fact that they're on this
podcast.
I've
seen them for real.
Oh, thanks.
They're lovely.
So would you play it again?
Absolutely. Oh. 100%. And I'm excited to play again.
Okay. Oh, good. Yeah. All right.
I was going to ask you guys a question. What is the maximum amount of players for Mansions of Madness? I was really curious about that.
I think it's five.
Okay. Yeah. I looked and it's a 1 to 5.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's five.
Oh, you could play it by yourself.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting.
You can play with two investigators.
Okay.
You just move them together.
We have a segment on this podcast called Playing With Yourself.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
Playing game solo.
I don't know if that's PG-13.
Well, the concept isn't, but the actual content will be. Maybe.
You know what would be super cool is if they ever, like down the road in the future, they made a Mansions of Madness game that was like virtual reality. Like you could actually like be inside it with interacting with like the monsters, like a virtual reality one.
I would imagine they will down the road.
That'd be cool. Maybe
it could be 10 years down the road, but you're right. Yeah.
Where you're walking actually in and you feel like you're actually there and, you know, touching the clues and you feel like the monsters are in front of you.
Did you feel that the theme really came out in this game?
I did.
Okay.
I think they did an amazing job, and I could not get over whoever makes these games, like everything they thought of, all those things they thought of was just blew my mind.
It's usually a German dude that makes the game, but
really?
In this case, I don't know.
Oh.
Most of the designers wind up being German.
Really?
Yeah, that's interesting. It's a big country.
It's amazing.
So we ask you, if you play the game again, would you consider buying the game for yourself?
How much is the game?
It's a good question. Something we probably should have researched if we were good podcasters.
I think it's typically around $80.
I feel like I would probably not. I will just come to your house and play it with you.
And that's fine. That's fair. That's what most people do. So that's all right.
I feel like I would probably spend the $80 at Sephora or Ulta before I would buy it. But maybe down the road, if I continue to play it, this time I'll stick to just playing it with you guys at your house.
Well, Darren, you were right. It was $80, $79.65 on Amazon as of today.
Nailed it.
And yes, that's the tactic I take. I usually let him purchase games and just go over to his house and play.
Mm-hmm.
Works out best.
In this game, there's a lot more scenarios in the box. You can replay that one again. It'll be slightly different. And, you know, we got 3 hours of play just there.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're getting a lot for the $80, I think, and all those little monsters in there too. So.
Yeah, and no, there was a lot. And
a lot of monsters.
We decided if we play again, I always get to be Rita, right?
That's fun.
I would kind of like to make you the crazy lady, but listen, it's up for discussion.
Okay.
So now that we've exposed you to board gaming and possibly other stuff, what is your feeling on playing other types of games? That we've gotten the taste.
When you say other types of games, are we talking about Twister? What do you mean?
No, the other types of games like we talked about before. We discussed
playing that were in my room.
Anything
that might be on the shelf there.
Like Paperback Writer?
Sure.
Yes, that's one of the ones we talked about but didn't play. But
yeah.
I would be open to it.
Okay. Would you like to try some different types of games?
Yeah.
Not just...
Yes.
Okay. Not just co-op games.
Yes, I would definitely be open to trying other games.
Okay. And has your opinion of board gaming changed after this initial play of Monsters of Mansions?
Yes.
What is the game called again?
Mansions of Madness.
Ah, nice.
Nailed it.
Wow.
So your opinion has changed. How do you view it now?
I just don't think I knew quite what to expect, and I didn't think I was going to enjoy it as much as I did.
Okay.
I think it's very, I think it's intelligent. I think that it is fun. And I think it's actually like a bonding experience for people. And you really do use your mind.
Would you say board games are or are not just for losers?
I think they're for everybody.
Oh.
So this end podcast.
So this was a success.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. And I really appreciate the time and the thought that you put into it for me. And I think you nailed it. You got my personality and it was fun. Yeah.
Good.
But I want to ask you guys a question too. When you're talking about like the alpha, have you guys ever played with people where the personalities just didn't mix and it was not fun to play with those people, or is it pretty much always fun?
We sometimes tend occasionally play at like conventions or tournaments or at game stores, and you get matched up with people you don't know. So I have had cases where, yeah, it doesn't work.
Okay.
That's why I prefer to play at my house with friends.
Yeah, because you know.
And we did have an incident the night before you showed up where this will be another part of the podcast, but Dayron got very angry about a game called Spyfall.
Yeah, we don't need to talk about that.
I think it was hinted when I heard you guys like intimate
so
it's something about that.
Funny that you should bring it up, but that will be probably a whole episode.
All right, I will look forward to hearing about this.
Yeah, that's for another time. But that's, I mean, it's an interesting thing you bring up. I think when you're playing a co-op game, it's so important to get a group you want to play with.
Yeah.
Because it's a co-op game, and if you're playing with a guy you hate, it won't work. So I think it's less important when you're playing a competitive game, because you can play with somebody that you're maybe not as friendly with.
But
I wouldn't play a co-op game without, like, people I know.
Yeah, I agree.
Or people I've like and played with before. It wouldn't make sense to.
Yeah, right. I agree. So, you like board gaming now. We can count you as a gamer. What do you think about the Double D's, Dayron and Darren?
Well, I've always thought you were fantastic. That's really never been a question.
Nice.
Are you saying that to him or to both of us?
To both of you.
Okay. Yes.
Which one is your favorite?
I am always like Switzerland, so both of you are equal in my eyes.
We're going to need an answer.
You each have your own wonderful qualities, so I'm going to go with Darren.
There you go. Yay. That's a good answer.
But I've spelled it in my head who is my actual favorite.
Well, that is all we had. Thank you for coming on the podcast.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
You are a wonderful guest. Our fans love you already.
They haven't even heard you.
Would you be willing to come back another time?
Absolutely. I look forward to playing games too again.
All right. Very good.
All right. Thanks for listening to our episode. We'll chat with you guys later.
Sayonara.
What?
For today's board game breakdown, the Double D's will be discussing three versions of the same game, Codenames, Codenames Pictures, and Codenames Duet. They are all designed by Vlada Chvatel and published by CGE. Codenames Duet is for two players only, while the other two games play 2 to 8 players. Each game takes anywhere from 15 to 30 minutes. Each game is basically a word or picture guessing game. Players split into two teams, and each player will have a spy master, whose goal it is to get their field operatives to identify their secret agents faster than the other team while avoiding the dreaded assassin. The game is played with cards that are arranged in a 5x5 grid in the center of the table. In original Codenames, the cards each contain a word. In Codenames Pictures, they each contain an unusual picture instead. During each game, a special key card will identify which cards in the grid are blue secret agents, which are red secret agents, which are innocent bystanders, and which is the assassin. The spy masters on each team are the only players who see the key card. Play alternates between two teams. On a team's turn, the spy master gives a one-word clue and a number, signifying how many cards the clue relates to. For example, he might say, Animal 3. The goal of the spy master is to get his team to guess their team's secret agent cards while avoiding the other team's secret agents and, of course, the assassin. After receiving the clue, the team points at cards in the grid one by one. If they identify their own secret agent, they can keep guessing. If they guess an innocent bystander or the other team's secret agent, their turn ends. If they guess the assassin, their team automatically loses. The winner is the team that identifies all of their agents first. The primary difference in Codenames Duet from the original Codenames and Codenames Pictures is that the role of a spymaster switches back and forth each turn between the two players, with each player using a different key card for the grid.
So for today's deep dive review, we have a special guest. My wife, Annette, will be our guest reviewer. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
You are one of our most popular guests, according to our fans. Were you aware of that fact?
I was not aware of that fact. I feel like you might say that to everybody.
Well, you'll have to keep listening to the show to find out if that's true.
Were you not aware that we had fans, or were you not aware that you were popular?
Both.
Well,
mainly the former.
Well, for today's deep dive review, it's going to be a little different. We're actually taking a look at three games: Codenames, Codenames Pictures, and Codenames Duet. But we're doing them all together because they're basically the same game with slight differences. If you can play one, you can figure out how to play each of them. And they all have basically the same theme. So, Dayron, what's your thoughts on about the theme of all the Codenames?
It's light. Mm-hmm. That's the best way I can describe it. It's not a compliment. I'll put it that way. It holds it together, the aspect that you're trying not to pick the word with the spy, and you're trying to get your team to pick the good guys. But I mean, truth be told, the first time I played one of the games, I had no idea what the theme was. You didn't even tell me. You're just like, right. Hey, just here's cards, here's words, you can read. Try to get the other person to guess it. So the theme is fine, but it's just there. That's not a word.
I agree. And then, did you feel like you were a spy while you were playing this game?
No, and in fact, I have a small confession. And it's only today when I'm actually looking at the back of the boxes where I realize that the names on the cards are supposed to be code names for secret agents.
Right.
I didn't realize that before.
And you've played this
several times.
Many, many times.
Several dozen times.
Yes. I think you know what? That confession.
I just had no idea.
That confession, it sums it up exactly. Like, the theme is there, but it's better to ignore it, and it's basically a word guessing game. You know?
Yeah.
A for effort for trying to tack a theme on a word guessing game, but it really doesn't matter. In fact, normally when I play games, I try to explain a theme to people when I'm explaining the rules so they can kind of get it. This one, it's not even worth it because it's more confusing than just saying you're trying to get people to guess the words that your cards match up with.
Right. It's irrelevant. Mm-hmm. There could be any theme.
What about the art, Annette? How do you feel about the art?
I thought the art was okay. The one thing in particular, like the Codenames Pictures, the pictures were unusual because each picture had more than one meaning. Mm-hmm. 2 to 3 meanings. Like it would be like a pig, a piggy bank with wings. Mm-hmm. Like a flying pig, but also a piggy bank. So you could say more than one thing. One thing is with the neutral cards, the gray ones, they look like mental patients. And I didn't really understand why that was.
You're really offending one of our
I'm sorry, but I didn't understand. It seems like it's offensive to mental patients. Why do they make
them?
Well,
that's a lot of our audience, so we would like to retract that. I apologize for my wife's comments.
We're not going to edit it out. We're just retracting it. So we know what a horrible person she is, but we don't agree with
it. I'm not the one who drew them. I'm just saying, why do they have to be like that? Why can't they just be normal? Like, look at that guy.
Right, they have some...
And I mean, they're like wearing gray, shabby robes, and they have bewildered, drunk, or like, looks on their face.
Okay, that's a good point.
That's a point.
Dayron, do you have anything to add to that?
No, not to that point specifically, but here's what the one thing that bugs me the most about this game is on the words cards. So we're not talking about the pictures game, mm-hmm. the ones with the words. It's designed so you can read it from both sides of the table, because oftentimes you're going to have, you know, full contingent 2 to 4 players, and you have to see what's on the other word. For some reason, the one word is printed in nice, bold black face on a white background. And then for the other side of the table, it's gray on off gray. And you can't read it. You have to wind up looking at the other side anyways. You're reading it upside down. Why did they not just make it too easy to read, bold mm-hmm. face, facing the both directions? Why did they have to make it shaded?
I never agree with you, but that was exactly my other point, because I always read the upside down word instead, because the other one is smaller, and you can't see it. You don't even realize it's there, so you read the upside down word.
I That was my same thing. My biggest complaint is that, and it doesn't affect the game in any way, but they could have easily made it readable on both sides. I get they wanted to add a little interest to the card that's really just a word, but it kind of... There's no reason you have to read the word upside down.
No, because there's nothing on the rest of the card. It's not like it's distracting anything. It could just be two of the same word.
And honestly, a lot of people we played with don't notice that the word is written until we point it out that it's, you can read it from both sides. So, yeah, I think it's a very good point. Anything else about the components?
The cards are kind of tiny and flimsy, but the reality is it kind of needs to be that way so it can fit on a table. You're making a grid of cards. Again, it's kind of like the theme. It does the job, but it's not a high point by any means.
Yeah, they're fine. I mean, there's nothing spectacular, but agreed that it really doesn't need to be for the game to work. So let's talk about the gameplay and the mechanics. Annette, what do you like about Codenames?
I like having to try to get someone to say as many things as possible. Like, I like to maximize everything in games. And
you are a risk taker, maybe an envelope pusher.
Yes. So it's fun to see how many things can you get someone to say, like, as loosely connected as you can. Now, you do have to play with, you have to know your partner, and you have to, they have to know you. So if you were to say, like, a word and then, like, six, like, dare in, when you and I played before, I think I did that once where I picked six things. And you were able to get them because you knew you knew each other. And also, you have to be of equal intellect, I would think.
Yeah. It helps. Especially with the word ones. The picture ones, I think it's a little easier to come up with good clues. Because you could say the word of what's in the picture.
Right.
But you can't say the word that's written on a card in the word versions. In Duet and Codenames.
Yes.
That was my thought exactly. I love trying to get in the other person's head. Or make them get into my head in trying to get those clues. I'm not as aggressive as Annette, I don't think. Six words, that's ridiculous. But that is the highlight for
me. It can be done.
Yeah, and I think with pictures, it's slightly easier, like I said, to come up with those clever clues. But I agree, the fun of the game is trying to come up with a really clever clue that's going to knock off, tie together three or four words without hitting the assassin. The game is no fun if you just play it one or two at a time. You're missing the point if you do that. And I think that's where the fun is coming up with those big clues.
Well, actually, if I can add one more thing. For me personally, the picture game, I feel like that's harder for me to come up with words. Like, I need the words. I can tie things more with words. But the pictures, there's more than one meaning in each picture. Like, kangaroo with stegosaurus spines. Like, you can't... Someone could read two different things into that word versus the word. I guess some of the words can read two different things too. But it's, for me, it seems easier to come up with multiple clues, multiple connections with the words versus the pictures.
I'm the exact opposite. I thought the pictures was much. It was a much easier mechanic because there's so much more you could say about it because it could be a lot of different things. Whereas the word, if the person's not thinking. We had the word pitcher, for example, and I was thinking, oh, just pitcher a beer. It's easy. But if the person's thinking pitcher is in baseball, it's totally off. Whereas a picture, it's easier to visualize and easier to direct the person, I think, in that other direction. So
I think it's with the picture version, it's easier to come up with a clue. You spend less time thinking of a clue. But it's harder to come up with a good clue that's going to knock off three or four words. I think... It's easier to come up with one of those big clues with the words, but it could take some time. You could be sitting there for 2 or 3 minutes while nobody else is doing anything. And I think that's, for me, one of the negatives is that if you're trying to come up with a clever clue, everybody else is sitting there, which could easily be 2 or 3 minutes, doing nothing. And you could not be wasting time. You could be really focusing, and you just can't avoid... the assassin and come up with a way to even get sometimes 2 or 3 other words.
Easily, you're spot on. Easily the biggest downfall of this game is how much time you're not playing the game. I was surprised that for every time I play it, I'm like, why is this taking so long? This should have been over. And even the last game we played, we had one clue and one word. You thought about it for a minute and I was leaning forward like, what?
Exactly.
Just say something.
Right. But you can't just spit out the first thing because the game won't work. You know, if you just do a one or two.
Absolutely right. That's why, to me, it's a downfall of the mechanic. Mm-hmm. It has to be that way. I just don't like it.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I agree. I have one more thing to add with regards to the first version of the game.
Okay.
That I think they fixed with the later iterations mm-hmm. of the game. And that is that in the first version, you say, like, teeth three.
Mm-hmm.
And then the person can guess one to three things.
Right.
And then the next time you would say... In order to give them, if they only guessed one, you know there's two more out there. In order to give them the ability to guess those, go back and get those last two, you have to add two to your next thing, which if they're not paying attention and you say, you know, forklift five, they're going to think that five things relate to a forklift, when in reality, you're expecting them to remember that they had two that pertain to teeth that don't pertain to the forklift. So that can get more confusing, whereas in the other game...
The duet specifically.
Right. You can say T3, then forklift 2 or 3.
And you have unlimited
guesses.
You can go back
mm-hmm. and count. And so it's just, it helps the person not get confused. Is this really 5 forklift or 3 forklifts?
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like that change too.
Yep.
Because you're not, you know, artificially saying a number. You're saying how many things you actually think your clue relates to. Let's talk about, Devon, you want to comment about the strategy involved in this game? I mean, you feel it's very strategic.
I made a note here that it's, yes, almost too much, mm-hmm. that, which is bizarre because we like strategy games, but it was too much strategy for what it's packaged as. Every time we pick up this game and play, I'm like, it's going to be fun, word game, and then we're sitting there holding our heads in our hand and like waiting minutes, like we said before. That's especially true, I think, if you play with the wrong person. Now, I've only played with you two and Lorelei, mm-hmm. but even with Lorelei, I just felt like we weren't on the same wavelength on one game, and it was just like, it was too hard.
Yeah.
It was too hard.
I think it's deceptively strategic. You think it's just a word-guessing game, but it's not. You have to come up with a strategy, even to say, okay, if there's four words I have to get him to guess... Should I do it in groups of two? Should I try to knock one out so then I can give a clue for three? So there is strategy in which order you get people to guess words so you could group them together and come up with a better clue. And I'll say when it comes to Codenames Duet, it could be challenging, especially when you play the variants that limit the number of clues you can get wrong. It could be challenging. And you really do have to... think about the order in which you give the clues and get people to guess the words. So mm-hmm. I think there's a lot more strategy involved than it seems on the surface. I think a lot of people look at it and say, oh, it's a party guessing, word guessing game, but it's really not.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's not a party game.
No, I agree. All right, so what about the replayability? We just checked on Amazon. You can get Codenames for $15, Codenames Pictures for $10. And Codenames Duet for $17. What do we think about those prices and the amount of replayability you get for that? Annette.
Actually, I think that the pricing reflects the order that I feel that the games are enjoyable.
Interesting.
Like, for me, the Duets is my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Pictures is my least favorite. And the original version is my middle ground.
Mm-hmm.
Middle of the road.
What do you think about the replayability? You guys own the game. How do you feel about playing it over and over again?
I would play it over. I think that it's very important that you play it with someone who mm-hmm. knows, like who can get that there's multiple meanings to a word.
Right.
And who also knows how you think.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that they're like a similar level of intelligence and word smithability.
Mm-hmm.
Word what?
Smithability.
Wordsmithing.
Like you have to be, or I don't know what the word entomology or etymology. I don't know what the word is.
Entomology is bugs, but
etymology.
Etymology.
Something about you have to know like
stuff.
Yes, you have to know something about something.
Correct. Yeah. You have to like things.
And you have to like yes, and you have to, but you have to have similar like. I don't know. You just have to sort of be on the same wavelength.
I know what you're saying. We
as someone. Because you know me, yeah. And if I say yeah. so, I feel like all of us could be, like, I'd play with any, like, any one of you guys. And yeah. I feel like we could be... Okay, but I feel like you and I would have a better chance of understanding what the other one's getting at. I would say the more different words you know, the better chance you're going to have. Like
The more you know, the better it gets. Is that what you say?
Yes.
Okay.
But like if there was a cormorant on there,
mm-hmm.
as an example.
I have no idea what that is.
Well, no, either. That's a made up word. Not. I would say we've played it with a bunch of different people. And I would say there's some people I would probably only play pictures with, you know, whereas there's some people who might enjoy the challenge a little more. So we go with the full code names. But I think there's so many words in there. It's endlessly replayable until you get tired of it, which we haven't. We still break it. We own all three and we still break it out a lot.
So for your friends that come over, and now they're listening to this podcast, obviously.
Of course.
And when they come over, you break out pictures. Now, are they to assume that they're the dumb friends?
They're the ones who don't know what a cormorant is.
I think sometimes we break out pictures because, you know what, I just don't want to think too much. I feel that you don't have to think as much with pictures.
See, I disagree.
The game goes quicker. But regardless, I think... Even with just the one, if you only had to have one of these, they all are pretty replayable. I mean, I wouldn't play it every night, you know, five times in a row.
We played it several times in a row, the duets one. And I like that because it is fun to think about things. And I feel like playing this game in a way makes you not smarter, but it helps it helps you keep your mind sharp.
Yeah, it's mentally challenging.
You have to think about it. Because you can't just... squeak by with saying one thing and getting one. Anybody could say one thing. But the goal, I mean, I try to like say as many as possible.
Hey, Ron, what do you think about replayability?
We played two games right before we recorded. I was done. I really, if you would have said play another one, I would have said, no, I don't think so. Again, I think it's one of those games that once a week I'd be okay with playing, but... Uh-huh. For what's a 10-minute game, you can usually play a lot of 10-minute games back to back to back. Two might be my limit.
It's not fun. I mean, I wouldn't call it. I wouldn't say that it's like Potion Explosion is fun. Like some games are fun. Dominion is fun. This game is fun mentally.
Right.
Like, but it's not like fun enthusiastic.
It's a mental
fun.
Challenge, right?
Yes.
It's not a lighthearted, not pay attention until it's your turn type of game. You have to be engaged.
Right. When you're done, you don't say, wow, it's not like a roller coaster. Wow, that was fun. You say, oh, that was an experience.
I agree with Dayron. It's, I'll play it a few times in a row in a night, but I'm not going to spend a whole night saying, come on over, we're going to play hours of Codenames.
No.
I would not come over.
No.
That's how we can keep them out then.
Hold on a second. Wait.
Who? All right. Moving on. Who, Dayron, do you think is the ideal audience for this game? Who out there should buy it?
Good gaming couples, a group of tight-knit friends that game, you know, a group of four. It's not a family game, I don't think. I think it's just for people that like people. I think it fits in our wheelhouse, even though I clearly don't like this as much, but... I think people who want that real challenge, that mind meld type game with a tight knit couple or a tight knit group, it could be like a gateway game. But you gotta wanna not have fun and think before, which is ridiculous. But
yeah,
I get it. Someone who doesn't want to have fun but wants to think a lot,
I
think chess.
And that, who do you think it's for? Who do you recommend this game for?
Well, I hate to agree with Dayron again, but I kind of have to agree with Dayron again.
This is a banner night.
I know. Well, and I'm looking at the ages on the box, and the picture says that a 10-year-old can play it.
Ridiculous.
Maybe with the pictures one, maybe. But I feel like a 10-year-old's not going to get the nuances of the vernacular of the different words with, actually it says 11 for Codenames Duet. I feel like that's not...
Yeah, I'm going to have to bleep out vernacular.
Remember, for our mentally... What did you call them? Deformed? Yes.
Challenge. I said challenge.
That's even worse. You got to use small words.
All right, I'll say I think that it's not a family game either. I wouldn't... Like, I don't think it would be fun for a family because if four people are playing the game, three of them are sitting there, two of them are bored, two of them are thinking. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then one at a time, when after someone has said something, the one out of four is actually saying something.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of downtime and not a lot of bang for your buck.
Okay. I think it's a great, the duet is a great couples game if you like word games, crosswords, Scrabble, that kind of stuff. I think you really enjoy it as a couples game. I think it's really good for people who want a strategic kind of short game, easy to set up, easy to teach, but not necessarily easy to play. It doesn't last too long. I think it's for those type of people. So with that, let's go into our individual deep thoughts. Who would like to go first? About 30 seconds. Who would like to go first?
I'll go first.
Deron.
I don't think it's a big secret. I don't like this game. That's just the bottom line. The aspect I like was trying to have that mind meld with your partner or your opponents, but it's too much downtime, too much thinking for what is marketed, I feel like, a party game and a family game. It just misses the mark for me. I would really not recommend it for a lot of people. Like I said before, for a gaming couple, yes, but for everybody else, no. Even at that low price point, which is... It's just not for me, and I don't recommend it for a lot of people.
Interesting. Annette, let's hear your deep thoughts.
Well, I'm going to have to agree with Deron again. I do like Codenames Duet. Mm-hmm. If you're playing with the right person, I do enjoy it. Pictures, I don't like at all. I disliked it. I would never suggest playing Pictures, and I would only suggest playing Duet if I was playing with someone that I knew very well. Mm-hmm. And then Codenames, I probably would never suggest playing it. I'd much rather play something like Spyfall. It's much more fun. This is, it's too much thinking, but it's not fun. So I like it, but it's not fun.
All right, so you recommend it for nobody.
It's cheap.
Okay.
If you don't like fun, right?
Yeah.
All right, my deep thoughts. You are both wrong. I disagree with you. I like these games. I especially like Duet for a couple, but I agree it has to be somebody that you know well. You're on the even playing field when it comes to vocabulary and word games. You have to enjoy that type of puzzle. I think it's easy to teach, easy to set up. It's usually quick to play. I agree with you that everybody has to be engaged, so you're not going to play it with people who don't want a mental challenge. But at the price, you should pick up one. You know, I would probably maybe recommend Duet or Codenames original pickup. Try it, see if you like it, see if it works with your group. You can't go wrong at the price, I feel. And you will, get to test it out. So.
Well, and Duets is good because there's less downtime.
That is true. All right. Well, with that. That is our review of Codenames, Codename Pictures, and Codenames Duet.
Now for another installment of That's Ridiculous. Can Deron convince Deron that his latest board gaming accessory was worth the purchase? Let's find out.
For today's That's Ridiculous segment, we have Lorelei here with us to judge whether a purchase Deron has made is ridiculous. So Deron, why don't you tell us what product you have today?
Well, this is one of my favorite products, which I can't imagine there's any chance you'll find this is ridiculous. But it is a World's Finest Leather Notebook for Gamers, produced by a company called Game Tea in the UK. And it is a leather notebook for gamers. So I got this on Kickstarter. I think they sell it on their website now, but they kickstarted it in the beginning of 2017. I think I got it in the summer of 2017. I'm looking at Kickstarter right now, and it looks like I paid about £45 for it, which is, with shipping, cost me between $70 to $80. Now,
That might sound a lot for a notebook, but let me tell you about some of the features because, yes, they run.
Let me interject here and ask you, what is a gamer's notebook?
Great question. This is very important. It's, first of all, it's made of, it's handmade out of natural leather.
That's wonderful. What is a gamer's notebook and what purpose does it serve?
So if you're, now we don't really play role-playing games, but if you played role-playing games, I've never played one. Imagine you have to write down some notes about what's going on, right?
What does go on?
I don't know.
So let me get this straight. You purchased a role-playing game notebook, although you do not play role-playing games.
Well, it's not specifically. It's a gamer's notebook, not specifically a role-playing gamer's notebook. So it definitely is geared towards that. But say, for instance, if you have a very popular and successful podcast, while you're podcasting, you can write down notes, which I do.
Okay. Right? I have no idea.
Are there tabs?
There are. So within it, let me describe you. It's a handmade, beautiful leather. Feel this natural leather. Really nice.
It is very nice.
Smell it.
It does smell like leather.
It smells like leather. It comes with a nice, and it comes, they offered four different styles. I got the one that has this like strap that looks like an ancient scroll. So I feel very fancy.
The options were what? A strap?
I think there was one with the snap or other things. The really important thing is it comes with two D20 dice attached to it. So for emergencies, you can bust these out and roll your dice. They're very nice. Feel these. They're made out of metal.
Those feel at least $25 worth.
Yep. I would like you to stop feeling his dice.
Feel my dice, you too.
Well, those are nice dice. Those,
yeah, see?
And now, pray tell, what emergency situation would you have that would require you to roll D20 dice?
Well,
it's true.
Just for Lorelei's sake, D20 refers to what?
Well, the dice are numbered 1 through 20.
Okay.
What's the D stand for?
Dice.
So
it's D20, question, but it's dice.
So D20 dice stands for 20-sided
dice. 20-sided die. There's two of them, and they're on nice little elastic bands. Now, okay, forget about that. It comes.
No.
We're not ready to move on.
I'm not ready to move on.
We're not ready.
I felt your dice, and they felt nice. What is the emergency circumstance?
Well, what if you roll the dice and it bounced so far off the table that you didn't want to get up and get it? Like, you just busted.
Would you actually be willing to, like...
It's just a little knot.
Undo the knot and remove it and let us use it?
Yeah, it has a hole in the middle, so it's threaded onto there, but you can undo the knot.
But
amazing.
How many games have the need for that kind of dice?
Many.
I mean,
name one.
Game, which is one of my favorites.
Oh.
I'm
was
sorry.
Was that an actual game you said?
I'm sorry. You got a little bit muffled.
Well, let me tell you some of the other features.
Please.
It comes with, let me count. Oh, you can't even count. It has like four separate notebooks in here. And they're different. Like one is regular lines. One is a grid, one's blank, one looks like some recycled brown paper. Great. Four separate notebooks. It comes with this bookmark that's probably made out of gold, but maybe just looks like gold. And on it, it says, "And so the adventure begins." And you can clip that into wherever you would like. And it also comes with this elastic bookmark, so you can mark pages.
That's nice.
Right. Yeah, it's very nice. For each of your notebooks, each one is held in by elastic. Now, moving on, it has spaces. First of all, it says Game Tea England.
Mm-hmm.
That's in there. It has little pockets to hold your nonsense.
as a little
this
strap.
Is nonsense.
Wait, hold on.
Oh, okay.
Straps to hold your pens. Your what if you're going to a convention? You need to hand out business cards. Oh, well, there's a place for that.
Oh, you do you already have business cards?
No, they're empty. But if I collected some, I would put them in there. Another pocket and this nice little thing that says "Thank you, sweet backer." Comes with that.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, a nice art on it. And, yeah.
Right.
So it is actually really pretty.
It is very nice.
Yes.
I quite enjoy it. I use it for podcasting. And
grid squaring?
Well, I haven't used that one yet. Oh. I've only had it a few months. I really think this is one of my better purchases. So let's hear what you have to say about it.
So I'm looking on Target's website in a 5-star spiral notebook. 5-star, which is a pretty legitimate brand of notebooks since I was a kid. $2.79.
Boom.
Garbage.
Assuming you have
four. Oh, wait. Oh, you know what the problem is? What you're missing? I forgot the velvet pouch that it comes with.
Yep.
It comes with a velvet pouch. You can put it in. The velvet pouch has nice drawstrings. Put it in there. So if someone's trying to sneak a peek at your notebook, yank. And now they can't get in.
So there you go. If I were to need 4 separate notebooks, if I go to Target, I'm now spending $10. Plus a leather pouch, which I assume I could get at Michael's, maybe?
Velvet.
I can make you
one. Oh, velvet pouch? Yes. Let's conservatively say $15 for a velvet pouch.
Mm-hmm.
So we're at $25.
Does it smell like this? No.
Does it smell like failure? Yes.
It is amazing. We'll stand by this. Look at the stitching. It's very
well. Our viewers can't see the stitching, but they can see through the horrible lies that you are perpetrating here. I'm going to render my final decision. That's ridiculous. Lorelai, would you care to weigh in?
I will weigh in. The leather is beautiful. The stitching is gorgeous. Like, it really is a very, very pretty.
Lorelai is a true artist.
It really is nicely done. The strap that wraps around it numerous times is distracting.
Well, that is my choice. I enjoy that. They have other options without it.
Right. So if you were somebody who went on Game Tea, you could have options, whether you wanted that or not. To me, it's distracting. Like, I don't know how many times I need to wrap around a leather strap around a notebook before I feel like it's secured.
Wait, what are you, like a one wraparound type girl?
I feel like it should just either be you have the flap and that's it. Or you lock it in with some magnet. But
they have those options.
Okay, but you just shouldn't have to wrap it around 3 times. Like, I just think that's kind of weird. But...
Well, I think you're weird.
He said you're ridiculous and that I'm weird.
Oh, no, carry on.
Yes, I'm actually trying to support you and your ridiculous options. So, with that said, the quality is really nice. The inside, I think there needs to be some kind of replacements.
Do they offer those? They do on their website.
For how much money?
Yeah, how much? Not that much. Okay.
And you could replace, because the insert is just an elastic band, you could replace it with any notebook pad.
So like a $2.79 notebook from Target, perhaps?
You could. You're not paying for the paper here. You're paying for the quality leather,
right? Which is what I think is really nice.
Yes.
So you can insert something else in there.
Yes, you can.
Yes.
Velvet pouch.
The velvet pouch does nothing for me. Okay. I feel like that's really like a
fair enough
insignificant event. But
the dice.
Lorelai, your final verdict on the notebook.
You could say that's ridiculous, but I like it.
For a $70 leather-bound notebook,
$50 is more appropriate.
Okay.
So
it is imported.
$75 is ridiculous.
Okay.
But you're not that far off. You're just a little bit over far.
I think your opinion is ridiculous. $10 max. Final conclusion.
No, it's a collector's item.
Yes. They only, the Kickstarter, I think they had about 1,500 backers.
That's ridiculous.
Well, I mean, some people are very sophisticated and some people are just ghetto.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So there we go.
Well, our final conclusion is a 2-0 ruling that it is ridiculous. Although Lorelai was maybe on the fence more. Officially, that purchase is ridiculous.
Fine.
And Lorelai, any last words?
Sayonara.
I hate that song.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode. For more information about the podcast, check out www.boardgamesareforlosers.com. If you have questions that you want answered on the show, or if you just want to tell us that you still think we're losers, you can email us at boardgamelosers@gmail.com. You can chat with other losers in our forums over at boardgamegeek.com by visiting guild number 3300. And don't forget to check out our amazing board game photography on Instagram by following @BoardGameLosers.